1077 RKR, The Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frakehouse. Joined on the phone by founding guitarist of Living Color. Welcome to The Rocker Morning Show, Vernon Reed. Hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
Hey, good morning, Vernon. How are you, man?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm looking forward to Hoodoo Telemetry on sale October 3rd. All major digital platforms putting a record out as well. Available for pre-order now. I checked out The Haunting, and it was, dude, it was giving me some strong Prince vibes. Was that kind of by design?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Definitely a Prince influence, surely. They had Prince and Sly Stone, yeah. But definitely Prince. Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me about this new album. Is there a particular message or direction that it moves in musically?
Well, it's kind of, it's a bit all over the place. It's some songs that are like kind of radio friendly,
yeah,
if you will. But there's also kind of jazz stuff, jazz influenced stuff. It's kind of like the inside of my mind.
Yeah,
it's all over the place. Really, it's about a lot of different feelings, a lot of different things, and there's even tributes to people that I know,
wow,
and people that I knew, and I did a cover of the Edgar Winter song "Dying to Live," which is like one of my favorite, you know, from Edgar Winter's White Trash, you know,
yeah,
beautiful tune, yeah. So that's, I feel it's very in a way it's. A full range of emotions and things, yeah.
So, this being your solo album, do you have anybody that's making an appearance on the album with you, or is it just you front to back?
No, it's the vocals, like on the Haunting, the vocalist on the Haunting is Kevin Webb, and he's been a friend of mine. He's a New York guy, and
nice.
We're both Prince fans, so he did a really great job. You know, on the song "Beautiful Bastard," that's Rashid.
Cool.
Who I've known for quite a while. I actually do vocals on one song called "In Effigy," and So that's like kind of my lead singing debut, if you will. I'm a little freaked out about it. I could carry a tune. You know, I'm not gonna. You know, I'm no Corey Glover, but I do what I can.
Well, you've got an album release party, I know, next Wednesday at the Blue Note in New York. Do you have any plans to tour the album after that show?
I would like to. I mean, I have to work out the timing between Living Color's schedule,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, any kind of gaps in between, because Living Color's my first priority. But I would like to do it. The vocalist on the show is Olivia Anglin, who, she does some of the backgrounds, and she actually does one of the lead parts on "Politician." We did a cover of a "Politician" from Cream.
Okay.
And she's going to be the primary vocalist. And then I'll still be forced to sing them my one song. But that's going to be fun.
That's sweet, dude. I'm curious. I know you mentioned Prince, too. Are there any other, like, early influences when it came to you wanting to perform music?
Well, I mentioned Sly Stone.
Yeah.
Other influences... Wow, there's a ton of them. Like, you know, I mentioned that "Politician." Well, I actually, life being the crazy thing that it is, I wound up playing with Jack Bruce and doing a couple of projects with Jack Bruce. And so, you know, that's my favorite, pretty much my favorite Cream song. But, you know, I also got a chance to play "White Room," you know, and "Sunshine of Your Love," you know, with Jack Bruce. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so that's like stuff like that is it's hard to even explain what that is, because I was just a guy like anybody else listening to those riffs, you know.
Yeah. So when you first got started, did you kind of have one goal in mind, or was it your ambition from the start really to expand your footprint in the music world, not only through playing but like writing, producing, and composing.
Yeah, it was a journey. It's been a journey. I mean, I at first just wanted to get decent enough on guitar to be able to play a gig. You know?
Yeah,
and it just changes as you. It just changed as I gained more experience, had more, you know, playing in wedding bands, playing, you know, just all the various things, and then, you know, getting into the kind of CBGB scene, and, mm-hmm. you know, it was all of it was an evolution. I mean, also including, you know, playing jazz, you know, playing with Ronald Shannon Jackson, playing this very particular kind of freeform jazz thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, so my pathway is very unusual. You know, I was also an R&B guy, too. So, like, all of the various things, you know, my goals would shift and change. And then I was very affected by music. You know, it was weird because I was listening to Beatles, listening to James Brown and Motown, and I loved that. And then I heard John Coltrane and Eric Dolphy and Ornette, and I came to love that too. But I never let go of Hendrix, or I never let go of the things originally. So that's the thing about my experience with it, is that I'm connected to all of these various things, and it's been incredible. It's been an incredible trip.
I was going to say, New York must have been a very unique place to live, because, again, you have those early influences that you kind of discovered as a kid, and then just growing up in that scene and being surrounded by, you know, all these up-and-coming bands, especially, you know, in the 80s, too, with American hardcore punk rock. Just taking the world by storm.
Yeah, it's really, really, really such an interesting environment, An example, there was a band called BT Express. They were big in the disco era, mm-hmm. right? And there's a sax player in that band named Carlos Ward. But Carlos Ward also played with John Coltrane.
Oh, wow.
You know, so, yeah, so you had situations of musicians who were connected to many different styles of music. And, at a certain point, the overlap of punk, of funk, reggae music, jazz music, that was a big part of, you know, and there were so many clubs. It was a very different time. And, you know, I really give a lot of credit to Philly Crystal, who owned CBGB's.
Oh, yeah.
And, he was a pivotal person. In my career, in the band's career. And it turns out, you know, one day I was talking to Hilly, and Hilly said, oh, you know, I used to work at the Vanguard.
Huh.
I mean, he worked at the Vanguard when Coltrane was playing a Love Supreme. You know, he was like a manager of the Vanguard. It's crazy stuff, you know? But it was very, very exciting. And you just the amount of different artists to come in contact with, and hearing, you know, like a kid I went to high school with, Raymond Jones, he played on Good Times. He was in the band Chic.
Oh, wow.
And and he was a classmate of mine. And he plays the Rhodes part on Good Times. And of course, Good Times is massive. The Sugar Hill Gang, you know, that's the beginning for many people, that's the beginning of hip hop. You know, is right there. So it's very interesting to see all these overlaps and things, and to witness them, and to see a friend. You know, and that was a big influence on me as well. Local people.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, Living Color's always been celebrated. I'm curious your feelings on what pro wrestler CM Punk has done for the band as well, because obviously Call to Personality was a huge hit on its own, but having it as his entrance music has now become like a sing-along to like the entire crowd when he comes out.
Oh man, it's so great, because the thing about that is he told me the story of why he wanted the song, is that, you know, when he was in Little League, he was like 12 in Little League,
mm-hmm.
and his coach fan of the song, and they used Colt for his team to get out on the field. They played Colt for them to get out on the field, and they won their championship that year. So he had a serious emotional connection to the song from when he was a kid.
Oh man, yeah, that's got to hit every single time he comes out. That's super cool. Well, yeah. Dude. I'm very excited for this album. I love talking to you today. Hoodoo Telemetry. It's on sale October 3rd. All major digital platforms. Get it. Pre-order it right now, the LP as well. Vernon, it was an honor to talk to you today, man. I hope you have a great show next week and look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
Mark, thank you so much. I really enjoyed our conversation.